This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by BlackStarLabs.com, home of the best-tasting protein powder out there. You can check them out at BlackStarLabs.com. Don't forget to mention the FitCast when you place your order. This week's episode features music by Wolf Parade titled What Did My Lover Say? You can check them out at SubPop.com. Welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 183. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me this week is Jonathan Fass of AcceleratedStrength.com. John, how you doing?
Pretty good, Marty.
And we also have Lee Peel. LeePeel.com. What's up, Lee?
Not much, Kevin. I'm just sitting here and I'm thinking that if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything.
You know how much I love you too. Lee, first off, what's up with that? I mean, there's a big thing out there right now. People are giving you a lot of crap for writing 50 Cent his new diet. What happened with that? We should talk about that, though. I would love you to talk about that.
That was like 60 comments on that thing.
Yeah, I know.
It was I got an email from an undisclosed person, but basically asking for business advice and asking if...
Epic post, by the way. People need to read it. I will link to it.
If I thought that it would be a good idea to release the 50 Cent diet, to the public for sale. And I posted my response and what I thought about that and just in general. And I get, I think the thing what it is it's not like that's the first email like that I've ever gotten. I think it was just one of those things where it's just like, I'm like, seriously, I can't take these kind of emails anymore. Cause I get emails all the time with people asking me like, what do you think about like this kind of diet or what do you think about this product? And most of the time I really do. I just hit delete and I just go about my day cause I don't even want to waste my time with it. But I think I had just seen, something, I don't know. I just seen something and I got the email and I guess maybe I was just in one of those moods and I was just like, really, are you kidding me? So I posted it up and I have to say like, I've gotten so much traffic from, I mean, obviously people are just looking this up online and I am the first result for it. And it's just the traffic from it has like been insane. So I guess, thank the guy out there for sending me the email because I've been getting like hundreds of visitors a day just from 50 Cent diet alone. And maybe they actually will learn something good from it too.
Yeah.
Cause most of the people are going to be typing it in, probably looking for how he did it or, oh, I want to do that too. And maybe they'll read, that conversation back and forth and they'll read some of the comments and maybe they'll think twice about doing something like that. And maybe they'll look into things more. So I don't know, maybe it ended up being a really good thing, but it wasn't meant to be, some sort of champion against whatever, but the man of diets, but I don't know, I posted it up and it definitely has had a high response, both positive and negative. There's definitely been some crazy emails I've gotten about that as well.
My question for you would be, do you think this is going to be like the new Brad Pitt and Fight Club diet kind of thing that people are going to always ask about?
No, or? I don't think so, dude, because he looks like he's about to die. Yeah. I think women only are looking up this thing. I don't think men are looking this stuff up. No way do I think men are like, or at least on average, like I think that you're going to find more women are looking this up because no guy looks at that and goes, yeah, that's going to get the chicks. Even a gay guy, they like to look buff too. So no, I don't think that either. I don't think that either. And I'm stereotyping. I'm just saying like, I don't think that either. No, I think that that's a females only are looking up the liquid diet and how to do it and how to lose weight like that. And even then I don't think they're necessarily wanting to look like that. I just think they're probably like, oh my God, like that obviously worked. And the dude, like, he didn't just like get on the treadmill for like 3 to 4 hours a day. He like ran from like his airport to his hotel, like back and forth. He was, he even claims that he was like borderline psychotic. I think it's great that he, movie role, sacrifice, whatever. That's all fine and any. I have no problem with 50 Cent and what he did or whatever. But I think that definitely people should not take that as. He was a cancer patient that was dying.
Right.
Does that not register anything?
The man is playing a cancer patient, an ill individual, Don't look at that and go, what a great diet to follow.
Right?
I would love to look like an ill individual too. Or no, I'll just stop halfway so I'll only be sick. I won't look like I'm dying.
Mm-hmm. No, it's like I saw Matt Damon in Courage Under Fire. I didn't think, the faux heroin diet. It's just so what I need to get on right now. Yeah. No. Yeah. So anyway.
Continuing on, running through the opening. Perform better recap. I did post some stuff on KevinLarrabee.com. I also had a couple quick words before the podcast last week, but amazing time.
Dude, how was Thomas Myers?
Biblical.
Yeah.
Biblical. Super cool dude. Mm-hmm. As well, by the way. If people don't know Thomas Myers in Anatomy Trains, basically it's it's all about fascia. And I think in terms of his presentation, it made a lot of the stuff that Neil Rampe talked about when he came to speak at Crescent Performance help that make a lot more sense. I don't remember if I talked about that much, but I've been able to go back through the handouts from his presentation. And it just everything started clicking. Anatomy Trains is one of those books that's really hard to, take to the beach and then casually read through. You can't really do it that way. You have to sit at a desk and with the highlighter and a notepad so you can take notes. And I've only been able to get through about 10 pages at a time. I've had the book for a while. I've had the ebook for a while, and I ended up picking up the hard copy just because it makes so much more sense now when we look at unfortunately I don't have my notes in front of me. John, say something for a second so I can get my notes.
We got to go back to the future.
John, you're making this way too easy. All right, hold on.
Yeah, you know what, stuff like Tom Myers and Anatomy Trains they're really good. See, all right.
That was really inaccurate, John, because that's not the quote. It's, we're sending you back to the future.
I don't care where you're going. Anyway, ruin my train of thought. Oh, Anatomy Trains. See what I did there?
Okay, I got it.
I like that stuff because, and I encourage, especially like students, you get a lot of questions, or I get a lot of questions like this, about things like Anatomy Trains or these kind of, it's not fair to call them periphery materials, but they're materials that can be very influential, but they're also in basically they're theoretical. So what I like about those books is they really, once you've learned the basics, once you've learned the more evidence-based stuff, that stuff really fills in the gaps very well. What I caution people against is using that as the only thing that you do. But when you have this kind of well-established base, stuff like that really opens your eyes and helps you put together things that otherwise don't seem to make sense. And Thomas Myers, his book is just, I mean, it really should be read by any kinesiology student, any PT student. But again, after you've got your solid foundation, you start to branch out and stuff, and that is definitely one of the things you should branch out into there. It's very helpful clinically to kind of put things together. I would not say that I believe that fascia is the end-all be-all of everything that goes wrong in the body, but it certainly does help to connect the dots.
Well, he even admitted to say, before we started the presentation, he said 50% of what I tell you today is going to be wrong in 5 years. Mm.
Yeah. But that's – yeah, I mean, that's great. I mean, that's true of – I'd say 90% of what I say is wrong in 5 minutes. So
that was really funny, John.
It's not funny, Kevin.
In terms of the Thomas Myers stuff
– humble.
Just to kind of put – it into perspective. The other presentations I saw were great, including Sue Falzone on the thoracic spine. But I took 4 total pages of notes for Sue Falzone stuff, and I took 8 pages
for Thomas Myers. And this is because they ran out of notebooks when I got there at Perform Better. So hopefully that will be coming in the mail, so I'll have the handouts. But for just some standout things that I got from the notes is basically it's really interesting that when we looked at the body many years ago and dissected it and broke it up in between muscles, they did it that way because they obviously removed all the fascia. And they more or less categorized all the muscles. And John, maybe you can talk about this a little bit as well. And they didn't really look at how the muscles connected with the fascia and how if you... I'm trying to think of a good example without going too overboard with this. But he showed a lot of videos and showed, you know, when you're actually using one muscle, you're seeing other muscles being used as well due to the fascial connection between them. And a lot of this stuff might go over people's heads. It's still kind of over my head, but you know, the book is helping. But you know, stuff like neuromyofascial web, which, you know, again is allowing those muscles to work together. And he even kind of brought up foam rolling, and we always talk about foam rolling and soft tissue work a lot. And, you know, he's like, I know, and I should preface this by saying Thomas Myers doesn't do fitness stuff at all. He doesn't work with clients or athletes. He doesn't even research anything that we do. And he says that straightforward, that I know nothing about what you guys do. I just work with people that are on a table and they are not moving. But talking about the soft tissue work, now he says, you know, I don't think that foam rolling is really going to help fascial quality that much, if at all. The only thing that it's going to do is increase proprioception, which when you think about it, actually makes a lot of sense. And I know that's been mentioned before, and I think some of Bill Hartman's stuff, if I'm not mistaken, but I don't know how too deep you guys want to get into this, but he obviously talked about Ida Rolf, and he is he is Rolf certified.
Oh, is he a Rolfer?
He is a Rolfer.
No change.
And the other cool thing is Viking versus, was Viking? I have it written down here somewhere. I'm doing really horrible with this, and I sincerely apologize. Viking versus acrobatic fascia, or acrobat fascia. And basically, there's two different people are basically classified as a Viking or acrobatic. Vikings set up for more colder weather and tends to be a little bit stronger, like in terms of relates more towards strength, whereas the acrobatic is obviously a lot more flexible, more towards warm weather. And they looked in the runners from... they looked at runners from like Kenya and stuff like that, and they were much more acrobatic in terms of their fascia. And they thought that might be a reason why they perform so well in the marathons, because like the exercise and the movement itself is not very intensive for them. For a lot of the stuff, again, I it was hard writing down all these notes because he was breezing through it, but for some of the movements in terms of the running, they were literally isometric contractions for them because of how their fascia was set up and how it was formed. And there's a lot more stuff. I don't know if we're going to be able to get to much of this. I promise I'm like halfway through a blog right now, but it's literally 1500 words at this point. With what I wrote from his, and that's just from his presentation. It was really cool stuff. Again, it's not the end all be all, but I think it's something that's worth thinking about. If you could ever get a chance to see Thomas Myers, yeah, take it. So
sounds pretty cool.
And I will also be at Perform Better in Chicago in two and a half weeks. So if you're going to be there, let me know, drop me an email. And if you ever have guest requests, please let us know. We always like to have them keep coming in. Send me guest requests at kevin@thefitcast.com or questions@thefitcast.com. And Lee, what's up?
So just quick heads up, I did end up editing something out. It was just a joke that bombed. It was nothing special. So no big deal.
Besides, Kevin, I have a question. Yeah, well, what's up?
What were you just thinking?
That I'm going to edit that out.
Nice.
And I really am. So I'm going to edit that part.
Don't you dare.
Yeah, no, I am.
No.
Don't you dare. No.
Fine. Lee, come over to my house and then get into my computer. That's the only way you're going to be able to touch it.
Our job for the rest of this podcast is to continue to make mention of how Kevin referenced going to the strip club on Spike so that he has to edit out every single mention of himself going to the strip club on Spike at the Perform Better.
Check. Noted. Noted. I will do my job. That mixed with Back to the Future references is a lot for me. I don't know how I'm going to answer any questions.
If I promise to not edit out and edit this, I won't edit this part out. Can we just stick to this stuff? Otherwise,
Fine.
The people who don't like us joking around are going to get really mad.
You know what? Those people, they can download something else.
Well, no, I like having the downloads.
How about the map?
Makes me feel better. Lee, come on. Tell me what's up, Lee.
Oh my God, nothing is up, okay?
All right, fine.
Nothing.
We're going to
Mailbag. Like, I'm trying to help you move to other areas. I don't know, like, I'm awesome.
I like to plug the leapheel.com.
I've got a challenge coming up. I've got a challenge coming up, and it's going to be the transformation challenge, and it's for members of leapheel.com, and yeah. I mean, you know, it's kind of reverse of what everyone always does. Everyone always has like, oh, I'll get hot by the summer. And it's kind of a reverse of that and saying, since, you know, if you're sitting there and you're feeling, oh, I'm upset because I don't feel hot this summer and I want to do something about it, just do it now instead of waiting until New Year's of next year to do something maybe about it. And so that's kind of like the theme, I guess, if you will. But there'll be all kinds of rules and programs and everything like that, and I'm basically telling everybody what to do. So yeah, that's coming up, and then some cool articles and I have a huge report. It started out as an article, thanks to John Fass, actually.
Oh.
It started out as an article, and now it's moved into a huge download report. And it's basically taking a look at the current research and the things that are out about. I mean, it's a lot of what I did with Body by Eats, but it's in a little bit more detail and looking at some other things with research about the organics and pesticides and the chemicals and things and stuff like that. And basically, how you can really go about being safe or to decrease your toxicity intake if it's something that you're concerned about and in a realistic way, instead of in kind of a placebo, making myself feel better kind of way. There's a lot of things that we do that we think are helping us, not so much. But then there's other decisions that we can make that might actually show a little bit of a better benefit. So it's kind of bridging the world of people who are trying to do things to make themselves feel better or safer or economically or environmentally or ethically. But they may not be doing it the right way, not because without ill intent, but because there's just so much confusion and there's not a lot of rules or lines drawn, specifically in the organic industries and things like that. So it's looking at that in a lot more detail, and I was just going to do it free. And it's become a big thing though, because there's so much research in it. It's so research heavy. So yeah, I'm doing that as well, but it's, but I guess, yeah, I was bringing up because there's John has been posting up a lot of stuff and just people in general sending a lot of stuff and it's just got conversation going and it's got thinking happening. And I'm just like, you know what, let's just kind of look at this and let's look at it in like really heavy detail and see what we can find out, what we know, what we don't know, and just get into it even more. So yeah, that's what's up.
Be right back with the mailbag. We'll edit that out too. All right, we're here for the mailbag.
First question that we have comes from Jin, or at least the first email. It says, "Hey, Fitcast, just thought I'd share a good book to help promote, to help people understand studies and publications in an easy to understand book. The book is called Bad Science by Ben Goldacre. Is that right?
Ben Goldacre. Yeah.
Ben
sure.
Goldacre. Yeah. I'm listening to the audiobook version. It's quite informative and teaches people how to critically examine trials and studies. And I just downloaded that on Audible about half an hour ago, so I'm going to take a listen to it."
Awesome. Send it my way too, please.
Well, that's the thing with Audible, John, is that it's linked to your iTunes account.
Oh.
So I wouldn't be able to send it to you.
You might have to
drop some money with the, you know, hopefully your $3 this week will cover the book.
Hopefully.
Or just get that cash, that FitCast paycheck that I sent you.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
The one that's worth more than the paper that it's printed on?
It, right? Yeah.
Right?
It
is.
Right?
Right? I don't know.
All right. All right. So the next email that we have comes from Cesar. Says, "Hey, Lee, spelled L-E-E, Kevin, and all the fine people at the FitCast, no John mentioned."
That's me. That's me.
That's you and also John K. Williams as well included in there.
Awesome.
I have a question for the show. I started a 3x5 lifting program last fall and have experienced good results. And I put on about 13 new pounds of muscle in the upper body, chest, lats, and also glutes, hamstrings, and even my calves. I'm very happy about that. As you well know, all that squatting puts a lot of stress on the legs, so I've eased off my running quite a bit. Used to run about 15 to 20 miles a week before the 3x5. I do run nowadays between 3 to 5 miles a week. My question, however, is this. Is it possible the new muscle mass, especially in the glutes and hamstrings, could change my running biomechanics? I do find I am sore in new spots after running. I've been virtually injury-free my whole running life. I am not sure what I should do about it. The soreness is mostly in the outside of my knees or sometimes slightly behind the knee where the joint would be. I am very focused on preventing injuries, so backing off running is no problem. I doubt I have to cut it out altogether, though, as I also increase the intensity of my 3x5. Will this mean this kind of cardio is off limits? What would you recommend, Cesar? And John, we'll toss it over to you first.
This was a freaking awesome question. It was very interesting, and believe it or not, there's just very little research that looks at purely weightlifting and how that might affect mechanics, which is amazing to me. I mean, I would think that there would be tons of research about it, so unless I was looking at the wrong place, and PubMed is usually not the wrong place, there's really not too much going on. There's a lot more research that looks at running economy, and running economy is basically how efficient you are at running, or any kind of cardio, but generally they look at the economy of running. That's where the most research is done. So the idea there is that I have some kind of runner that uses a certain amount of oxygen and whatever else they measure, but typically it's oxygen consumption at a certain speed, at a certain level. And then they introduce some type of training, and then they look back and they see if that level has changed. So if I use less oxygen per amount of you know, speed or whatever, then that's considered to be an increase of running economy. The reason why I bring that up is because mechanics is thought to be a part of that process. So the thought is that if I can improve mechanics of running, that I should also therefore improve the running economy, because I should be more efficient in my form. To my knowledge, it's not really 100%. Sometimes they find that it does, and a lot of times they find that it doesn't. So this concept of running economy is difficult to figure out at this stage. And it's probably because there's just a lot of things that contribute to running economy. So that's one way to look at it. Does mechanics affect, you know, how you run? I did find one study that did show that weight training will affect mechanics, and which was kind of interesting to me because I tend to look at things more of a neuromuscular idea. So I use this example a lot. A lot of the studies that looked at ACL preventative training, and they'll introduce some type of weight training activity or whatever, you know, strengthen the glute medius, whatever, and then they take a look, you know, 6 weeks later at the mechanics of you know, jumping or whatever, and they find little differences. And I always point to that as saying, see, you need to train. You can't just exercise. You need to train. That study did show that there was a change in mechanics due to weight training. So I thought that that was pretty interesting. I wasn't able to see the whole study, though, so I can't really comment more than just the basic, they introduced weight training and then they got a result. So in the least, we have some evidence that that's possibly true, that changing your weight lifting, getting more muscle mass might change the way that you run, possibly. I think something that's very possible is if you put on so much muscle mass that you're actually affecting the way that, you know, if your thighs now hit each other when you run as and before they didn't, then obviously that would change the mechanics also. So it's something that I thought of that could possibly be occurring. The other part of it, though, is that don't really know. I mean, it could very well be that you're just being, again, going back to the idea of running economy, that you're running with more power now, and so you're becoming more sore in areas because you're using more muscle as opposed to what you may have done previously, which again, I guess is kind of a mechanics argument, but it also has to do with this might actually be a good thing and not a bad thing. It's hard to say because I can't really see what's going on. The other part of it is the area that you're describing outside of the knee or behind the knee, that the outside of the knee, it depends where you're talking about. This could be something as simple as like an IT band irritation type of issue, which is very common to runners. The back of the knee, it could be something like calves and gastroc. It could even be something a little bit stranger like the popliteus muscle or plantaris muscle. So it may have little to nothing to do with the weight training, and it just happened to start occurring right now, or it could very well be mechanics. So what does this all mean? Can't really tell you because it depends on what's actually occurring. I don't know that I would say that you should stop running, but I do think that it's definitely worth taking a look at, trying to evaluate yourself. Does it feel different? Are you running any differently? And also possibly having someone come in and take a look. There are, you know, certainly running coaches and people that are very qualified to take a look at and analyze the way that you're running and see if there's something that can be changed. Other than that, it's just a really interesting question, and I don't have much better, and I wish that I did. But I don't think that cardio should be off limits. If you're really concerned about it, though, and talking about preventive injury, then maybe if this continues, maybe you want to switch what kinds of things you're doing if there's no specific, you know, if running, you know, if you don't plan on running a marathon or something, it's not a point of training, then you could certainly switch it around, do something that's less impact, you know, an elliptical trainer or bicycle or whatever. But again, that was pretty really interesting question. Lee, do you have anything to throw in there?
That was excellent. I think that you covered all aspects. You covered the effects of mass gain. You covered the effects of the lifting and the biomechanics. You covered the if it could be, you know, IT or you know, lower body related. I mean, I think you got it. I mean, it's. I think it's the absolute best the question could be covered, given that you can't see or touch the guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that you definitely gave him something to evaluate. So
It was a really interesting question.
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah.
Yeah, and it amazes me that there's not more research on that. It really is. And I guess, I mean, in some ways it doesn't matter because it's like, well, does weightlifting affect mechanics where you assume, you know, athletes are going to be experiencing both. They're going to lift weights and they're going to be coached and trained in their movements. So it's, in that sense, it's almost a moot point. But for the recreational athlete, I think it's an amazing point. You know, when we introduce weightlifting, we assume that that's a good idea, and we have a lot of evidence to suggest that it is. But are there other things going on that we should be aware of? Like, you have to maintain, you know, your running form or your, you know, whatever other things that you're doing because you may be affecting them without your knowledge. It was just really interesting, and I can't believe it hasn't been looked at more thoroughly.
Well, you know, it's kind of when you start doing a program or any program, you're altering a state that you're used to living in. You're used to running in, you're used to working in. And And I think it's definitely something that should be taken in consideration, and it's not looked at. I mean, I looked at PubMed. I got like nothing. There's like poor results.
Yeah, there's nothing. Like, exactly.
Yeah. So no, I mean, I it's a very good question. Fine.
Yeah. And because the argument that I typically make is that you can't, if you're not learning to do something differently, adding muscle just means that you have more muscle to use in the same way that you've always used it. And it doesn't mean that more muscle means that you will use more muscle when you're actually in an activity. And I think the best way to demonstrate that is just anybody, just you can look at the way that you lunge, look at the way that you squat. As you get stronger, you may improve your form or you may not. It's all relative to how much attention you're actually paying, you know, when you're in the gym and when you're doing the movement. And I think an even better example of that is you could lunge perfectly and still climb stairs and have this fall of the knee inwards because you're doing something differently. It's a different neuromuscular activity. And if you don't use the newfound muscle, the newfound neuromuscular control that you probably got from your lunging, it's just not going to make a difference. And that, you know, so that's the argument where that applies to any type of weight training for any type of endeavor, athletics, you know, whatever. If you're not learning to use that new strength, you won't use it because you'll fall back on the patterns that you've always had before. But maybe that's not true. I don't know. I mean, right now we don't really have evidence one way or the other, although it would seem that, you know, the neuromuscular training is something that's important. And when we look at things like rehab, it's vitally important. But maybe it's not true of healthy populations. So, I don't know, just really cool.
Do you want to announce it now, John?
Yeah, pink dumbbell.
Yeah, that's the pink dumbbell. It was awesome.
John, do you want to get the next question for Lee from Francis, please?
Sure, would love to get the next question for Lee from Francis. Hi, FitCast crew. My question is regarding the weight gain that I've experienced lately. I'm 19 years old, 5'9", and my weight right now is at 150 pounds. I've been following Alan's new rules of lifting program for almost 6 weeks and have made my diet a 3-day low, 1-day high calorie intake, which I've done already for 2 to 3 weeks to lose some weight. My diet consists of sweet potatoes, oatmeal, fruits like apples and oranges, lean meats like chicken breast or fish, skim or soy milk, and nuts or peanut butter. Sometimes I would eat more nuts or peanut butter on my high calorie days without counting portions just because they're more calorically dense and satisfying than eating more veggies. What I soon found out was that as the weights that I lifted in my workout increased, so has my body weight. It only got worse and made me frustrated when I found out that I still don't see 4 or 6-pack abs popping out. Seems to me like flabs than abs, especially when I sit. And that my body fat hasn't changed or has increased a bit, despite the fact that I do interval training on a treadmill every Saturday. Am I doing it wrong, guys? I mean, why do I still gain weight even though my diet is always in check and my calories slightly reduced at just 1,800 to 2,000 calories? Hope you can help me with this. Thanks, Francis.
I think this is equally as good a question for like the people that are just getting into this stuff. Yeah, I think this is something a lot of people run into.
Mm-hmm.
Lee, what's up?
There's a lot to tackle here. There's so many angles that I want to go, so I'm going to try and do it so that it's least confusing as possible, especially when I start to get on a ramble. The first thing that initially jumps out at me is just because you're doing your interval work and just because you're doing the new rules of lifting program and just because you're kind of watching what you're eating, because I get from the things that you're writing, and this maybe is a bit of psychoanalyzation or maybe just habit and used to answering these kind of questions and dealing with people, but I'm getting the big feeling that you kind of know what your calorie intake is, that you sort of know what your intake is, that you're not very sure about that, and that sometimes it can get on a little bit of a higher level. I actually don't think that that's necessarily such a bad thing, but I'll get to that in a minute. But my point is that I whenever I find that people are frustrated and they use the word frustrated, it's usually because they don't really know exactly what's going on with their diet, and be it mass gain, be it strength gain, be it fat loss. That aspect of it is you know, just put more lackadaisically. You know, the program that you're on is a very specific program, and if you want more dramatic results or if you want more consistent results, then the diet must be as well. You know, you have great, you know, quote unquote clean foods with, you know, the sweet potatoes and the oatmeal and the oranges and things like that. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you, peanut butter, sweet potatoes, oatmeals, you know, fruits, and veggies and things like that. It adds up a lot easier than you may think. And to just, you know, I'm going to kind of have some fun with the nuts because they're more calorie dense. Like, yeah, they are more calorie dense. A handful is 200 easy. And something that a lot of people don't take into consideration is you're 5'9 and 150 pounds. And just because you're a guy, you're a small guy, you know, on average, you're not like a large obese male. Your caloric burn may not be as high as you think it might be just because you're a guy. And you probably are not carrying that large of muscle mass either, considering that you are 5'9 and 150 pounds and don't have a lot of definition or showing of your abs or even a four pack. So, you know, what I think that you need to take into consideration here is that if you were trying to lose fat, which I'm not 100% sure should be the route that you may need to go at this moment, and I'll talk about that. But if you're trying to lose fat, I think that you've just got to buckle down better on the diet and make sure that your intake is meeting results. It doesn't even have to be counting calories. That's not what I'm saying. And then people always give me such a hard time, like, oh, you're counting calories. You do not have to count calories in order to lose fat, but you do have to be consistent and have some sort of setup in place, be it portion control, be it just removing of an item here or there, be it, you know, taking out, you know, a macronutrient in percentages, whatever the means of that you do that, you need to start doing that and be consistent with that. The big thing that jumped out at me is that, you know, the New Rules of Lifting program, I've done it. I've known so many people that done it, so I'm very familiar with the program. If you're increasing in weight and you're increasing in your workout weight as well, so you're increasing in body weight and you're increasing in the strength that you have, there's two aspects that we can look at. One, there's the, if you're a relative newbie lifter, which that could be the case being that you're 19 years old, then it could mean that you're just developing newbie kind of gains in the gym, and so be it, and that certainly is a possibility. But it could also mean that usually when we increase in our lifts and we increase in our body weight at the same time, it usually means that we're either at a maintenance state or at like a slightly overfed state within our caloric intake, because those are very, it's a very challenging program. And not to say that you can't see an increase in body weight and you can't see an increase in lift weight from that program, especially in glycogen and just, you know, kind of a newbie shock retention weight and things like that. If this is an over time increase, then you might want to look again at the caloric intake. However, we have to take into account that you've only been doing it for about 2 to 3 weeks. So you could just be swollen from that. And I want to take all the depends of the situation that I can possibly see from this. And I guess basically that's the point. Whenever you write a question or you look at a question or you're having a frustration or a problem with yourself, you have to look at all these angles. It's been 2 to 3 weeks. You're 19 years old. You're at a low weight kind of already as it is. And it may be that you're just seeing some swelling and that you're seeing some, you know, repercussions of the lifting program that you're doing, but not quite in such a muscle mass way, but perhaps in a retention and recovery way. And that's why you're not really seeing results. It could be that you're eating too many calories, and that may be why you're not seeing any results. And it could be that you just don't have that much muscle mass, and that should be your focus. To see the kind of look that could help create for you. And that may be why you're not getting results. So overall, what I would like to see you do is maybe take a step back, because I don't see a picture of you. I can't look at what you look like. So I can't look at your body and say, yes, you have actually a pretty significant amount of fat mass left. Maybe you should focus on, you know, a slight cut and then work on increasing muscle mass. I don't know. I can't see you. So I would, you know, you can look at the body fat picture post that I made, or you can look at some other people online at kind of your height and your weight and look at the mass in comparison. And it could be that you need to take some time to, you know, just eat and lift, do the hypertrophy aspect of the New Rules of Lifting program if you need a program to follow. And just switch your program to a more mass eating style program and try and put on some muscle mass. You're young. I would take the advantage while you could. If you're new, that's even better. I mean, if I can always encourage young guys lifting to take the advantage of adding on mass while they can at a pretty decently low body weight, I say go for it. That's always going to be where my number one objective is, if that's something that you want to do and you want the six packs, ab, etc. If you're young and you're at a low body weight, screw trying to cut the fat. Use the newbie lifting time to your advantage as much as possible. Eat and lift. So that would probably be my number one advice, and my hunch goes to that's what you probably need to do. If it is, though, that you want to still lose some fat, or you think that I'm wrong in my account and you have more body fat than what I'm assuming that you might have, then you need to tighten up the diet, and it could be just removing perhaps maybe the sweet potatoes altogether, or just making sure that you're measuring something, or however it is that you go about it. But keeping more of a tight situation in that, and also lastly, being a little bit patient. It's been 2 to 3 weeks. You cannot expect anything magical or miracle to happen in that span of time, especially if you aren't doing anything drastic with your diet and you are being somewhat clean and being nutritious about it. So, I don't know if you guys think that, you want to throw anything else in, but that's what I about got.
That was freaking awesome. And I think that I'll, also kind of point out that, you know, like you said, I mean, what you're really describing is what we, you know, the skinny fat, you know, yeah. I mean, and that's what this sounds like to me.
It's what it sounds like to me too.
Yeah. Yeah. It what we talk about with skinny fat, for those of you that may not be familiar with that colloquial term, it really just means someone that's lean, they're slender, but there's no real shape to them. So there's, and you know, when people, you know, especially females, unfortunately, talk about, oh, I don't want to get bulky, I just want to get toned. Generally, what they're speaking of is, I don't want to have big, giant male muscles. I want to have, you know, I want to just look firm. And what that's really kind of referring to is, they don't have density to the muscles. So they're, you know, you wave and the bottom of the arm wags. And the reason why it does is that there is fat there. And a lot of it is the subcutaneous fat that's like fat directly underneath the skin. And the problem is that there's not a lot of muscle density there. You're not very strong. So it becomes not really an issue of losing fat. It really becomes an issue of putting on some muscle. If you put on some muscle, the fat is probably going to take care of itself because you are increasing your activity and you are hopefully changing your diet along with it. So it almost takes care of itself. And then what you're really doing is just giving yourself shape. So when someone, you know, the guy's 5'9 and 150, yeah. I mean, by my math, he's got at least 10, 15, if not 20 pounds that he could probably put on and be pretty lean and look pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that that's an unreasonable number, around 170 for 5'9". So, you know, I mean, quite frankly, I'm like 5'6", and I'm at 180 right now. And I've got maybe, you know, if I really want to be ripped up, I got to drop about 10 more pounds. You know what I mean? So I'm looking at someone that's 3 inches taller than me, and I outweigh him by 30 pounds. So, you know, I think you could definitely stand to put on some muscle almost without question. And then the idea of, well, where are my abs, where whatever, that takes care of itself.
Sorry, go ahead, Lee.
Well, all I was going to say is a common analogy that I use, and a visual, and sometimes it helps people, is I say to imagine a flat surface, like a you know, a bed, and put a pea in the middle of that bed and then cover the bed with a sheet. You're not going to see anything. You're not going to see the pea, and you're not going to see really any large definition in that sheet. But if you put a sack of potatoes underneath that sheet and then you lay it down, you're going to see lines, definitions, and you're going to see an outline form. And basically, that's no different than skin and muscle, you know, and you have to make an object underneath in order for it to reveal, so to speak, itself underneath that layering. So, you know, I'm... you know, inclined to be, you know, I look at a lot of people from, you know, and I'm very realistic about weight and what it takes to reveal things. You know, you look at someone like, say, Bruce Lee, he was 5'8 and 135 on average. Sometimes he got up to 145. So I'm not completely unrealistic about different body shapes, sizes, and weights and things like that. However, from what I find commonly and for what you know, most people want in their look, and the easiest way to get that look, especially for men, is to eat and lift and to take advantage of that time when you have it. Because sadly, so many guys waste their youth just spending all this time churning and churning and churning, trying to lose fat, trying to lose fat, trying to lose fat. When they run through all that newbie lifting that they have, they run through, you know, all that, the energy, they slowly wear themselves down over time. And the next thing you know, you're worn out and you're burned out where you could be fed, full, stuffed, and have some muscle added to that. So, you know, it's just something to take in consideration. And I know everyone has their own looks and their desires and things like that. But if I had to put my money on, then I don't think fat loss is where this guy needs to go. I think muscle gain is where it needs to go.
I agree too.
Absolutely.
And that's all relative, just like you said. I mean, some people want to look like a bodybuilder and some people want to look like a marathon runner. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
You start to build and then you see where you go. And if you start deciding that, you know what, I'm not really liking the way that I look, slow down on the weight training or change it up or add a little bit of, more focus on your cardio and your endurance stuff or whatever. There are a lot of ways to exercise and each one will provide a somewhat of a different response. So you pick and choose the type of goal that you want. But exactly right now when we're talking about I can't see any muscle, your goal should probably be to make muscle.
Yep.
And then as you, you know, decide, you know what, I feel great, I look great, this is exactly what I want to do, but I still feel like I could be more defined, then you're going to try to maintain the muscle that you've got, and then you're going to try to lose weight if that's still a goal. But, you know, take the thing that will give you the most bang for your buck and be the most efficient way to get towards the goals that you want and go to that first.
And a lot funner, by the way, Francis, a lot funner.
Yeah, you get to eat, dude.
You get to eat a lot more. You get to live a lot funner. You know, so have good times. But Kevin, what were you going to add?
Well, I was just going to say, do you guys think that's still kind of a big issue in the, or I guess I'd Lee would be the best person to ask. I think it's still probably a big issue that you see all these books that come out that give people guidelines. But personally, I've had clients that I'll give them a set of guidelines because you never want to have a client come in and being like, all right, guess what? From now on, you're going to have 2,300 calories for the rest of your life because it's not very, they're usually not very open to that. But most of the time you can get it done without giving them those calorie recommendations, like you said, Lee. But I have some clients or I've had some clients that I'll give them guidelines. I've kind of seen what they've eaten in the past in terms of their meal plan. I usually have them do like a 2 weekdays and then a 1 weekend day kind of to get an idea of what they've been eating. And then once I give them those guidelines of just some simple foods, you know, lean proteins, you know, having a little bit of, you know, certain kinds of nuts, your vegetables, your fruits, so on and so forth. And a lot of times a guy will replace a 3,500 calorie diet that he was eating going to Dunkin' Donuts in the morning and then going out to Subway and getting stuff like that for lunch. And they'll just replace those calories with calories from, you know,
from sweet potatoes or peanut butter. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
And they're like, well, but I'm eating better.
Yeah. And that brings in so many things.
The hell out of people.
It does. Yeah. It does. And it brings in the things that, and I just talked about this, like I read an article that says 5 ways to fatter you. And one of the things that I said was just because it's healthy doesn't mean you can't get, you know, gain weight on it or that it's going to magically help you lose weight. You know, I have a friend, bless her. She sends me these text messages and she'll be like, I just got an organic cheesecake. Or I just got, you know, you'd be so proud of me. I just got organic, you know, French fries or whatever, you know, like I can't remember the brand, the Alexa brand or something. It's like healthier French fries or whatever. And I have nothing wrong with French fries. You're not going to find me hating on the French fry or burger or even a milkshake at that. But just, you know,
the yard, doesn't it, Lee?
You know, I mean, you know, like, oh, I'm eating quinoa now. And it's like, okay, quinoa, pasta, whatever. It's all the same thing. It's calories. It's calories.
Right.
It may be more nutrient dense items, and that's great to choose nutrient dense items. That's what we should be doing. But it's not going to change, you know, how much energy you're providing. And I mean, there's even, you know, a possible theoretical article you know, that could be looked at in the aspect that, you know, the more nutrient dense, perhaps the more efficient we can become in our metabolic processes. And you never know how much that crap food could have been, you know, when you eat in a large amount state, you eat like your donuts, you eat your things like that. Granted, it's not healthy for you, but it does cause from some increase in NEAT. I mean, if you've ever seen a kid mm-hmm. given a big old cookie shake, that's some NEAT right there. That's some NEAT. Yeah. I'm going to tell you. And it increases it, you know, so you have to look at things very logically. You have to look at what works for you. You do not have to count calories. The reason I talk so much about counting calories is because I write a book called The Fellow's Troubleshoot. It's about going there when you're frustrated and you're desperate and you're trying to not screw up as much as possible. That's all, you know, like that's it. That's all that it's about. It's about just trying not to get so frustrated and spin your wheels. That doesn't mean you have to. It doesn't mean you can't just make some healthier decisions and some things will just go better, you know, but you have to at least look at the situation and the scenarios of what's going down. And you know, a guideline of 2,300 calories a day or 2,000 calories a day and things like that, it's never static. We change differently every day. You have a lazy day, you're burning less calories. You have a more active day and shopping and exercising and training, you're going to burn a lot more calories. You have to always make those adjustments. And I think that it's, you know, the biggest thing that you can take home from things like this is you have to look at your goals. You have to look at what it is you need and then what it is you're eating and how it applies in correlation. And usually the addition or subtraction of things is going to make the biggest difference. And in this particular situation, I think there needs to be an addition. I think there needs to be an addition of food, an addition of lifting, and an addition of mass to equal what the guy wants. Yeah, it's very confusing. You know, it is. It's very confusing.
It is very confusing. There's no question about it. If it wasn't, then none of us would have a job because everyone would get it.
Yep.
You know? And it's confusing, I think. Yeah, right. And I think it's confusing. You nailed it because we change. Our bodies are not static. I've probably said this to every single client I've ever held. If our bodies were static and it was just math, then any stupid thing that people do would probably work because it'd just be math. Oh, I need 3,000 calories. I'm going to eat 500 and I'm going to drop a ton of weight. But it doesn't work. You know, because that's what it would be. Yeah. And people don't understand. They're like, I don't eat anything. I eat a leaf and I eat – I have some vitamins. Why aren't I losing weight? Because the body is not static. The body is not – it's not
it
simple.
Adjusts.
But I've been drinking fish oil. Right.
Well, you know, and the thing is, and it's a great point. There is a thing called metabolic adaptation.
Yeah.
And this is where the constant, and I don't want to get in too long of a rant, and we definitely need to shoot to John for the next question. But, you know, we have a metabolic adaptation for a reason. And here's the biggest argument. You know, people will go, well, calories don't matter. It's not just math. And it's like, no, it isn't just math, but energy does exist and that never changes. Your math may change. Your function may change. Your metabolic efficiency may change. Your adaptation to training may change. Your metabolic adaptation may change. Your sensitivity to certain macronutrients may change. All of that, it may change. But the equation, the actual figuring of it, it never changes. You know, and your job is to stay ahead of that and to take into account all those deductions, the variables, and all of the things that make that equation, that make what the movements are, what they are, and to change that as needed. If you're eating more, if you're training, you're lifting more, you are going to burn more. So therefore, people that are trying to gain a lot of mass run into problems because they lift more, they eat more, they burn more, they end up ending static because they just added 500 calories to their day and they didn't make any sort of adjustments to that. And the same with fat loss. And then, you know, there's taking into the count of refeeds and trying to throw off that gauge and trick it, so to speak. And that's where, you know, to some degree we have the jobs that we have, but it's always taking into account those variables and the depends of the situation to give you the conclusion that you want. And I think that if more people just did that, and if we just took that into account and understood that we weren't static and then it wasn't just, you know, A, B, C done, that we probably would have a lot less FitCast question answers in general.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But you know, that we would get a lot further, but. Yeah.
And it's funny too because nutrition is so confusing to people. And I've always not that I'm a nutritionist, but it's always been a little bit simpler to me in theory And maybe that has to do because I focus on weight training, and to me it's all the same. The body adapts to things. So it's the same way as saying, well, if you only lifted 5 pounds the rest of your life, you probably wouldn't do too much in terms of gaining muscle. Well, the same thing occurs to diet. If you only diet, you know, you keep the same diet the rest of your life, you probably won't do much in terms of weight loss. You know, you have to continue to adjust to what's happening. I lift 5 pounds, suddenly it becomes easy. I need to lift 10. I, you know, I diet and, you know, I'm losing a certain amount of fat and then it seems to stall. I need to adjust it. The only difference is that it's not always the issue of, well, I just need to eat fewer calories and fewer calories and fewer.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where people run into problems. For weightlifting, to some extent, you could kind of make
progressive
that argument.
Progressive overload.
As long as I just keep. Right. So in that sense, yes, it's a little bit easier to understand. If I keep adding weight to the bar, I should, in theory, continue to build muscle, build strength, whatever. Although that's not
entirely true. It can get tricky, too. You know, it can get tricky too because if you're not eating enough for it, you know, you end up becoming more strength gained in some aspect than mass gain. And, I mean, it's the variables. But
it's the variables.
Yeah, but I think it's very true. You know, it's like you're like, well, I just kind of get it, and it just kind of clicks. You know, and to me, I'm the same way. But I think it's important that we talk about these things because for a lot of people, not so much, and maybe it will.
Yeah, a lot of people not so much. But I think this is such a cool discussion. I think the way that I try to explain everything is don't look at anything. You know, weight gain, weight loss, it's all part of the same. You know, it's one continuum. Don't separate these things in your mind. Put them together. The things that work here may be able to help you to understand things over there because it's still one body. It's your body. So don't think of things as, well, I have a weight gaining phase. I have a weight loss phase. You know, it's the kind of thing like Alan Aragon talks about, you know, culking.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the idea of bulking or cutting. He likes the idea of culking. I think that's great. It's a continuum. You know, it's – You can do two things at once. You just can't do them expertly. But if you don't really want to be that, you know, 4% bodybuilder body fat or the, you know, deadlifting 1,000 pounds powerlifter, you can probably combine things relatively well and not perfectly, but relatively well. And that's because it's all a continuum. And the same thing kind of applies to diet and even weight gain, you know, muscle gain, because they affect each other so much and they're so interrelated that you can kind of say, well, gee, you know, if I need to take a break from lifting, do I need to take a break from my diet? If I need to change the way that I lift, do I need to change the way that I diet? All these things are kind of related. So,
guess what, guys?
What's that, Kevin?
Two things. First off, this.
Whatever that is, I can't even hear it.
Okay, and we're going to wrap up the episode right there. I think that's a perfect way to end it because we're coming in at about an hour and 20 minutes total. And
there you go.
We've had a lot of two-hour episodes the last couple weeks. So I want to satisfy some of those people that don't like the two-hour episodes. I think that was an awesome discussion. Thank you, Lee, and thank you, John. All right, for everyone out there, don't forget to send in your questions to questions@thefitcast.com. You can check us out at thefitcast.com, and please go to iTunes, subscribe, leave reviews, and don't forget to, while you're there, go to the Ask Lee podcast and subscribe to that if you haven't already. You're crazy if you haven't already. Now, you guys got anything else?
I don't think so.
No, I think that I'm good. That was heavy.
Yeah, I'm just gonna drive my DeLorean off to work now.
Yeah.
My DeLorean, Kevin.
Yeah,
I'm gonna drive my DeLorean.
If my calculations are correct, when we hit 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some stuff.
Serious stuff. Probably the lights of a police car.
Or Libyans.
Oh, with nuclear weaponry.
No, John, that's all right. Thanks for playing.
You know, I like to do this stuff just to bother you.
It creates a 1.21 gigawatts of irritation.
It's 1.21 gigawatts. All right.
Oh, gigawatts.
Get it right.
Nerd. I can't believe no one walked up to you and called you a nerd.
They were probably just brought up video games or anything like that.
You know why? Because no one except for you cares.
Truth hurts. Why does this happen to the end of our shows? All right, we're going to stop recording right now. So again,
I just can't believe that I come down here. I record your show. You know, I go out of my way, and all you have for me is light beer.
All right, that was pretty good.
I mean, really?
Think, McFly, think.
Yeah.
Damn, I'm so pumped. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. All right, for episode 183, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jonathan Fass.
Whatever, let's just...
I believe we had it.
No, it was... There was an interruption overlap. Whatever.
All right, so you guys, enjoy the...
And
awesome...
that's Lee Peel.
I guess you're going to have to edit this all. There's
you edit nothing.
48 edits.
If you want...
You edit nothing.
No, and you're going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
That's not Pal. Safe. Yeah, it is. Pal, if you want a Pepsi, you're going to pay for it.
Pepsi free? If you want a Pepsi, pal, you're going to pay for it.
I'm saying it was in there. You're going to pay for it.
All right, give me a tab. Tab? Tab for what? You haven't ordered anything.
Why are you wearing a life preserver?
So, Marty, what's it like being a lifeguard? Oh, no, he's in the National Guard. What are those guys that go out in the water and do stuff?
The Navy?
Why do you keep calling me Calvin?
This is all Back to the Future references. All right, this is great. This is three. Oh, well, dude, the unsubscribe counter is just going crazy right now. All right. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We will see you next time.
Oh my God, they found me. I don't know how they found me.
Run for it, Marty! I'm still recording.
I know you are.
Oh. All right,
I gotta go to mystery.
All right, here's where we get into the actual off-topic discussion. I apologize so much. It was an interesting show this past week, but that's sometimes what happens. So, yeah, that's what happened. Welcome to the off-topic discussion for...
That's harsh.
What, are we good?
I'm just saying, that was a little harsh.
Yeah. You swore at me.
Yeah. You did. Kevin,
I should probably put my headphones on so we don't get feedback. I don't know if you guys are getting feedback or not, but
I'm not getting feedback because I'm doing feedback. It the proper way that you taught us to do, Kevin.
Well, I like hearing you guys through my speakers.
Me and John have our great knowledgeableness and surround sound.
Exactly. Does it almost feel like you have friends that are there with you?
I hate you, John.
This is going in the off topic. Biatch.
Hold on, wait. I gotta make sure this is the hole for. Nope, that's not the headphone hole.
this is already the best off topic in the history of this stupid show. I'm telling you that right now.
Why can't I find it?
That's what she said.
Keep going.
Yes, found it.
That's definitely the first time you said that.
All right, so we got a great off-topic lined up for you this week. We are going to first talk about the big story that's going on in the news today. We kind of haven't talked about it because it's been a, it's been a big issue around the world. But we finally have mission accomplished. We can finally say that, and that is there's a new Back to the Future game coming to multiple platforms this winter from Telltale Games. It's going to be an adventure game, and I just want to ask you guys, what's your thoughts?
Okay, so what are we looking at format-wise? Is there a setup yet? Is there a storyline? Like, what's... I need more than just there's an adventure game.
I'm going to break it down for you guys, and the... Basically, it's being made by Telltale Games, which is known for Sam & Max. They made some of the Indiana Jones adventure games way back. They did a lot of LucasArts stuff until they broke off and did their own thing. And they partnered with Universal Studios. And part of this is they're actually doing episodic adventure games based in the universe of Back to the Future and Jurassic Park.
So these are like new stories?
Correct.
And new adventures. Okay. Okay. Correct. So it's not like rehashed of...
Think Back to the Future, the animated series.
Okay. Gotcha.
Which wasn't very, very good. But I have high hopes. Like they make the best adventure games out there. Like I even remember back when I was 6 years old, I played Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade on my IBM 386. Like, that's how old we're talking about right now, if anyone knows what a 386 is. Sadly,
I'm sure if...
I'm talking before Sound Blasters. We had bleeps and bloops. That's about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, John, are you excited? It's coming to PlayStation 3 as well.
I'm excited. I am so excited, and I'm so excited, I didn't realize how excited I was until you just brought it up, and now I can't even describe or contain my excitement.
I'm not joking, though. I'm like,
do I sound like I'm joking?
This is the biggest video game announcement this year for me. I'm not joking when I'm going to have this. I'm going to own this on my laptop, on Steam, because it's going to be distributed through Steam. I'll probably buy it on my PlayStation, my Xbox, and my Wii.
Mm. What the hell is Steam?
I don't know.
Basically, it's a marketplace. If you ever heard of Half-Life, they are... Okay. It's made by Valve. It's just a marketplace for video games, so you can put all your saves in one place. It's okay. Kind of like a console, but on your computer.
Gotcha.
That's cool.
So...
I'm very happy for you. I'm excited. So it's going to be on 360 as well?
Correct. It's going to be on Xbox Live Arcade. It will be across the board. So everyone's going to be able to get it. And I will read the exact quote from the article here as I pull it up. Because I think the real... big deal when we talk about this, as I try to burn time while I look for this, is that this would allow them to do a continuing story with the actors from the movies without it being a big difference, because you know, Michael J. Fox still does voice work for animated stuff, and obviously Christopher Lloyd has nothing to do right now.
Yeah, he's kind of right, I guess.
So I'm sure he would, like, the last thing I saw him on, he was on an episode of Chuck.
He does a lot of voice work.
He does.
He does a lot of voice work. I love Christopher Lloyd, though. He's very talented.
So, just kind of going back to the article, the Telltale Games, I feel like I'm doing my old video game podcast. Telltale Games CEO said that I think it's prime time to reintroduce these properties to the digital world, and they're ready to take on these two iconic properties and continue to advance storytelling in games. So right now they say everything's in the early stages of development, and the games are going to exist within these worlds, and in that he wouldn't call these games sequels, but more of a new interpretation of their world for a new medium. So it could be really cool, especially if they get like Robert Zemeckis to put his hand Bobby, as I like to say, you know, have him have some influence in this. And maybe even if Spielberg, because he's been doing a lot of video game stuff lately, having him have a little hand in the Jurassic Park work. Because I think they still are very influential. And also, we can't have Michael Crichton do anything because he is 6 feet under. So it wouldn't work.
So this is kind of like Star Wars Force Unleashed a little bit?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Which, by the way, I played.
It's pretty awesome.
Okay, here's how much of a... You want to know how a bunch of a dork I am? I couldn't play the game. And I couldn't play the game because I couldn't kill a Wookiee.
Dude, it's a button masher.
I couldn't kill
Force push those mother effers into the ground.
I couldn't be the bad guy. I like got it and I misunderstood. I read it and you can be a good guy.
Like a good-ish guy.
Oh, you mean like in the very beginning when you play Darth Vader and you're killing
Dude, kill
the Wookiees.
I couldn't kill the Wookiees. I couldn't do it. I was just I couldn't pull the trigger.
Kill the Wookiees.
Couldn't do it. I can only kill Nazis and the dark side.
I can kill Nazis.
In shooter games, I can do aliens and I can do Nazis and I can do the dark side, but I have a hard time doing much of anything else.
Can you kill people like in Grand Theft Auto?
What?
I mean, in 50 Cent, you killed a lot of people.
I didn't, but it's not a Wookiee. It's not a Wookiee. Like
it's a hooker, or you know, like, I hear where you're coming from.
What if the hooker had a beard and didn't shave her legs? Could you kill her?
Probably.
Okay, so John, no, I understand where she's coming from. It's like the same thing. If an animal dies in the movie, I will almost tear up. But if a person dies, I'm like, who gives a shit? It's like,
well, I'm with you on that, but. You know, and I will admit, like in certain games, when like dogs attack you and you have to shoot them,
it kind of breaks
my heart a little bit.
But then all those Wolfenstein, like all those Nazi games where you have dogs come after you.
Yeah, and it does break my heart a little bit. Until then, I remember it's not real.
Yeah, but well, it's really bad because in like the War Worlds Call of Duty game, you actually have to snap the necks of the dogs when they jump on you.
Oh, see, I'm never playing that game. Yeah. That's never happening. It won't happen. I won't play the game. I really wouldn't.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. I couldn't do that. You
can't snap those ones and zeros. They're too
like it's one thing if it's like, I don't know, a distant shot at a Resident Evil dog or something, maybe. But like, I can't do it. I just can't do it. Anyway.
What if it's a mutant dog that's like not really...
If it was like really kind of funky and I could really suspend this belief, then it's not gonna like. But I even feel bad in Halo, the little like kind of like little aliens that are like, you killed my friend. Like I feel like kind of bad about it.
Oh, and then you like think about like, oh man, I didn't know you guys knew each other. Damn, I'm gonna go home. Master Chief's just gonna pack it in for the day.
I feel a little bad about it. I mean, I still do it, but I feel a little bad.
Oh.
I know. I have a really weird, like, guilt conscience.
Do you have problems catching the ghosts in Ghostbusters if they're, like, someone's grandmother?
I've never actually done that.
You haven't played the Ghostbusters video game? Are you fan of Ghostbusters, Lee Peel?
Okay. Boy. I am. I just haven't played the video game.
This is after a huge deal that we made last week because someone's last name was Spangler.
Spangler, yeah.
Who mailed into the show. Twice has done that.
Yeah. And twice Kevin's gotten all giddy like a little schoolgirl. It's Spangler! But oh my gosh!
It's Peter Spangler instead of Peter Venkman.
Oh my god! It's amazing! Are you related? Can I get an autograph?
No, dude, just hook me up with one of them proton packs. It'd be cool.
That's pretty cool.
Did you see the video of the that comedy group that went into the New York Library dressed up as the Ghostbusters?
Improv everywhere. I love everything that improv everywhere does.
I don't think I have.
Like first there were just dudes in sheets, like sitting, like and reading on going on laptops in the library, just like very casually. And first off. That might put you off. But then a couple minutes later, the Ghostbusters start walking in there and start chasing down the ghost, and then at the end, everyone. I'm not going to give it up. I'll post a link in the show notes, maybe.
That's hysterical.
It was really funny.
I'm sorry, Lee Peel. Go
ahead. No, go.
I was just going to say that I still compare everything to the Jesus YMCA photo because that is funny.
Hey, can I tell you guys something really awesome?
I thought you just did.
Scotty073 on YouTube just made a comment on Tony's video of the barbell floor press stating that Tony is doing the exercise wrong, and that quote, the kid in this video is doing the exercise incorrect. It is very important to, all caps, not lock out your elbows when pushing the bar back up. That's incorrect. That's okay.
That's pretty calling him out. Nice.
Yeah.
It's probably a listener to the show too. We also got an email. I love when I get emails from our contact thing on the website, and then people don't use their real email address. They use, like, I'm going to call this person out. He used art@yahoo.com. That's not your
like email ART?
Address. ART. Okay. That's not your email address. Like,
you don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know. And maybe he was the first art.
No, other people would do right. like me at like dumbstuff.com, like, or like they'll do like johnny@gmail.com. Like, that's obviously like, not your thing. You're just doing it so you can send the message without using your email address.
Or like kevin@thefitcast.com, bunch of made up crap.
Totally fake.
Shenanigans.
Holy crap, they're making another Twilight movie. I hate those things.
Write a letter.
Hey,
start a
campaign.
Use your fake email address.
I will. Okay, two more. But we have to catch up on a lot of off topic. One, you know they're making a Len Grossman movie with Tom Cruise?
Hmm.
From his character from Tropic Thunder?
Hmm.
I don't think it's going to be good. Mission Impossible 4 all the way
Can I say that I hated Tropic Thunder? I really didn't find it funny.
You can't, because I haven't seen it.
The opening with like the fake trailers was hysterical. And then the rest of the movie, I think I laughed like twice. I hated that movie.
Just putting it out there. That's just not ringing a bell. Oh, okay. This is the Ben Stiller movie.
Yeah.
Let the hate mail
come in. But seriously, I couldn't stand that movie.
Hey, did you guys see the whole season of House?
No.
I just finished that up. It was pretty crazy.
So you didn't even see a whole episode.
I'm trying to catch up on my TV now. I just started watching 24 again. I'm on like episode 6.
Mm. I heard it's a really good season.
I don't know, man. Almost saw Renee naked, but that's about it. It's fine.
Saw who naked?
Renee. The character on the show.
Dude, pretend I haven't seen her for like 3 seasons.
Oh, you wouldn't even know who she is then.
All right.
I think that's about it. Still playing some Split Second for people that asked me about that on Twitter.
Saw the trailer.
It's really good.
It did look fun.
I mean, I talked it up when I went to see it at a Penny Arcade Expo, and it delivered. But that and Super Mario Galaxy 2, I finally cracked open, John, after we talked last week. I literally opened it up that day, and I think I'm 16 stars in, and it is phenomenal. It is so good. And I hate kids' games. Like, I still think that's like a kids' game. It is hard. It is everything. Every level is like a new thing, and I hate using the Nintendo Wii. I think it stinks. Like, the only thing that has been good that I've ever played on it is probably the Mario games, Silent Hill, and Legend of Zelda. But I recommend you guys pick up Super Mario Galaxy 2 if you want something to play. And I'm going to get a new iPhone, I think, unless Lee can convince me otherwise. Lee, what's up with your phone?
I got the droid.
Oh my god, I've not been recording this whole time. Just realized that. My fault. I'm just kidding. I have. That wasn't funny. I first really thought that I didn't record because I didn't see the window. Continue about the droidly.
That wasn't funny. Kay.
You know what? No one came up to me and performed better, said that I was a nerd. Everyone was very nice and said Everyone was very nice, said very good, cool things about the podcast. Like, it was awesome. Like, that was the most, I think it's just because the summit has like 300 people, but like, literally, we had like 25 fans there that came up and said hi. So it was pretty cool.
That's good. That's good. Did you ask them questions and then not let them answer?
Most of the time, I just ask them, hey, Lee, how about that Troy? All right, I'm gonna watch some videos. You can talk about that.
No, I don't even want to talk about it now. I got a phone. It's a phone. Here you go. It's a phone. I already talked about it with you anyway, so I don't want to talk about it. You hurt my feelings.
Fine.
Yes, twice.
I'm fine. I guess what? Interrupted. Click. I just pre-ordered the new iPhone. Then, all right.
Dude. Okay.
Oh, I gotta. What's up with the new iPhone?
We can't video chat now, Lee.
Yes.
I mean, outside of our Skype video chats, we can still do our like Sunday night Skype video chats together.
Okay. No, I got the Droid. It's fun. It's gonna totally kill my productivity. I can do all kinds of Twittering and Facebooking, and it really does have an insane amount. If you're a Verizon customer, because I'm a Verizon customer, and you want an iPhone but you can't get one because they didn't announce it even though they said they might, then I think it's a pretty good alternative. I mean I've played with iPhones and now I've played with my Droid, and I mean it's pretty cool.
It's epic.
Yeah, I mean I'm pretty impressed. I mean, I'm a very traditionalist in a phone sense. My last phone, it barely had a camera phone on it, and so this one is an extreme upgrade from that. So yeah, no, it's pretty sweet though. It really is. If I can find some way to put John Fass's little cartoon character in there as his phone number,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm so on that. I'm on it. I'm mm-hmm. already looking into it.
Two more quick things. One, I wanted to make a Zach Morris phone reference, but I didn't. So I held back on that.
Does that count as one?
You just did.
I guess so. And two, new trailer for the new Mortal Kombat game just came out. Hmm. And there is a video, if you ever remember, you guys know any of the Mortal Kombat characters at all?
Yep.
There was a guy who had a hat on, like a round hat that had blades on the end.
Mm-hmm.
That was like totally like the Big Trouble Little China guy.
Yeah.
The god of lightning or something.
Yeah. No, that's Raiden.
Thought he had the big hat.
Yeah, but this is a guy that has blades on the end of his hat. He could throw his hat and it would cut up your chest.
Dude. You have to differentiate the hat wearing killers.
I know. Well, Raiden is Mr. Lightning Dude, and I knew his name is Raiden. This guy's name is Kung Lao.
Very okay, I think oh. I'm thinking of Raiden then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm with John. Anyway, go ahead, Kevin.
Well, anyways, in 2008, they came out with Mortal Kombat versus DC, which had Batman versus like, you know, all these guys. And now they're coming back, and they're touting it as the most violent fighting game ever. And there's a new trailer out that shows a fatality of Kung Lao's where he throws his hat on the ground while the other guy's lying down. And it basically, his hat's spinning kind of like a saw, like if you had like a table saw or something like that. And then mm-hmm. he grabs the guy's legs and he pulls his legs toward the blade. And
wow.
Cuts him right up the middle.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't wait. Pre-order.
Neuter him.
Yeah, pretty much. In Mortal Kombat, you can watch live streaming on Netflix.
What want. Is he, a moil?
Good joke, John.
Thanks, dude.
Hey, guys, I have a great idea.
Let's record a fit test.
Do we have to do the show now?
Yeah, we have a 20-minute off-topic this week, so yes.
Epic. Okay. This one was actually, this is the first time I think that I've ever said this. It was actually a decent off-topic.
Pretty good.
It was pretty.
All right, this is a goal. Before we record this show, I want you guys to drop some kind of reference to Back to the Future. Don't make me do it, so I can title this episode in reference to Back to the Future.
Okay, fine.
Thank you. 3, 2, 1.